time. We thank you, Father God, that, Lord, that you put it in our hearts to come this way. Lord, there were many who couldn't come this way, and those who didn't want to come this way. But Lord, we thank you for those who came this way, for those who looked this way continuously, Father God. Lord, we ask that you would bless them. Lord, I ask that you bless each and every member of New Beginning Christian Fellowship Church. Lord, no matter where they might be, no matter what their health condition is, Father God, I ask that you touch them where they are. Lord, even before this, there were many of us who were sick. And so we pray, Father God, that you would touch them and heal them. For we know that you're the doctor who has never lost a patient. Lord, we come calling out unto you, realizing, Father God, that it is not the doctor who provides healing. It is not the pill that provides healing. It is not the shot or the surgery that provides healing. But it is you, O God, you who created these bodies, you who gives us our life and our movement, our breath and our being. It is in you, Father God, that we come and call out unto you, asking, Father God, that you would, Lord, just continue to keep us in your good and perfect will. And we'll be quick and careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor, for you are worthy of our praise. Now, my prayer is, Lord, is that you would decrease me, and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that your word would go forth with clarity and with power, that it would do those things that you've purposed it to do, some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Now, these and all other things we do ask and do pray in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we all do say, amen, amen. Please stand in the presence of the Lord and turn with me, if you will, to the 91st number of the Psalms. This is our second time there. Last time we were there, we dealt with verses 1 and 2, and this time we're going to deal with verses 3 through 8. Also want to, while you're getting there, I also want to, my kudos out to Sister Williams. This was not my original message, and I had sent her that original message. It was ready. It was primed. I am not ignorant of the season. I know that it is the season of Lent, and so my message was a Lent message. However, you know, all that comes to a stop when the Spirit talks to you, and so the Spirit was just talking to me, and he says, this is what I need you to do today. And I had every intention of coming back. But you know, God is good. He'll let you run a little bit, and then he'll bring you back where he wants you to go. And so, praise be unto God. We're here at Psalms 91. I've given you more than enough time to get there. And thank you, Sister Williams, for putting it up. We'll read verses 3 through 8. And I'll read it to you, and then after I've read it to you, I want to do something a little bit different. I want to read it a second time, but the second reading, we'll read it together. Amen? Amen. All right, let me read this to you, beginning at verse 3. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You only will observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Let us go back to verse 3. Let us read it together. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and doing of his holy word. And for a few moments of your time, I just want to talk about, again, how God keeps us. You may take your seat. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Last time that I came before you, I covered verses 1 and 2, and I told you at the conclusion of that message that at some point in time, I really did want to come back and cover the rest of this. And so, like I said, when I prepped this, the Lord just really put it on my heart to bring this to you now. And I can see why the Lord really put this on our hearts. And remember, this is one of the verses, not verses, but this is one of the, actually, this is the verses that we, one of the verses, many verses that we fasted on into in the beginning of the year. Amen. Y'all remember those four passages of scripture at the beginning of the year that we were going to fast and pray about? And only God, of course, certainly God knows that, you know, his word, when his word will be needed. Yes. Amen. Yes. And so if you were faithful to the fast, amen, you've already read this. But you know what? I have found that just continuing to read the word, even the same passage, will just be a blessing to you. Amen. Amen. Did you realize that from continual reading of a particular passage, you pick up more and more things that you didn't see on the first two go-rounds? Matter of fact, there's some things that you won't see until about the 20th time that you read a passage. Amen. It's not unusual, certainly. It's not unusual to go back. And matter of fact, I want to encourage this habit in you to go back and read and then reread and then read it out loud, because there's something about not just reading it in your mind, but then hearing the word of God out loud. It's just something about it. It has a stick-to-itiveness about it. Amen. You sitting there reading it to yourself, and then sometimes when you read a thing to yourself, you miss some things. Amen. But then when you begin to read it out loud, when you begin to read word for word, it finds itself just worming its way into your heart and into your mind. And so all I want to do, if you leave with nothing else, leave with this: reread and reread and read again passages of scripture, because every time you read, you get something more out of it. Amen. Last time I stood before you, we dealt with verses 1 and 2, and verses 1 and 2 basically tells us that God has a way, when I brought to your remembrance, God has a way of taking care of us, and he'll take care of us. Either he'll cover us, he'll conceal us, or he'll place us in a castle, or he'll place us in a fortress. And in that way, we also talked about what? The life of David, and how from points in David's life, we could see where God covered David. And matter of fact, can I just put a pin here? I know that even in your own life, you can tell. Matter of fact, I'm looking at some faces, and I can see right now where God had covered you, and you now are thinking about those times where God covered you, where you should have been dead, lying in your grave, but for whatever reason, you didn't go in to work that day, or you didn't take your car to work that day. Come to find out that your car wouldn't even get you to work, because he's keeping you from things happening to you, dangerous seen and unseen. There's just some things that God is just will do for us, even though we're not aware of them. But then when I left verses 1 and 2 in Psalms, I had to go into Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7, where we talk about the peace of God. And we talk about, how does one get the peace of God? Well, the peace of God is certainly, you should pray for the peace of God, but we realize that the peace of God only comes as we pray. As we pray, the peace of God comes at that point in time. Well, what you talking about, Stan? I'm glad you asked. The reason why the peace of God comes the way that it comes is because you don't learn to trust God until you spend some time with God. Come on now, can I make this plain? You didn't learn to trust the people in your life, the people that you have lifelong relationships with, unless you went through some things with them, right? Those of you who had brothers and sisters, y'all went through some things with these brothers and sisters. Now, we hope and our prayer is that y'all not outlaws, but the thing is that being brothers and sisters, y'all shared some experiences. You went through some things together. And because y'all went through some things together, you are better brothers and sisters now than you were then. Amen. Sometimes you can have, if you haven't seen somebody in a while and they're a good friend, y'all pick up your conversation just right where it left off. That's relationship. That's what God is seeking from us. God is seeking relationship with us. And so the more we call out to him, the more he hears our prayers, the more he responds. You know, we do prayer in a funny and different way. We call out too, but oftentimes we don't wait to hear from. We good about telling God all the things that we want and all the things that we need and all the things that are going on, but we don't take the time to stop and listen to what it is that God is responding to us about. That is the peace of God. When you get the peace of God, you know that he will hear your prayer. Bible tells us he'll incline his ear. He'll hear your prayer. And in due time, he'll answer it. But in due time, and that means that what? You got to rest in him until he gives you an answer. Sometimes you get in trouble when you move too fast. Sometimes you need to rest and move in him. So I had to get there into Philippians, but now the Lord has put this back on my heart. You know, we got some things going on in the world. I have to say the world. And certainly we said that, matter of fact, when we looked at these particular verses in the 91st number of Psalm, our prayer was that we would meditate on this 91st number of the Psalms so that we might, what, wrestle against, what, sin, Satan, and the world. Because we knew, although we didn't know completely, but we knew that the world was coming against the church. I'm not just talking about the church worldwide, because Satan hates the church. And if you're a part of the church, Satan hates you. I just came by. He ain't going to miss on you. If he can hit you up, he will. But don't you think it's odd, unusual, just kind of crazy that things would be happening to this church? As long as y'all have been on this corner, and I ain't been on the corner with y'all, you know, all that long, but y'all been on the corner for a while. And from what I understand, we ain't had a lot of what we going on today. Amen. And then I guess the devil said, you know what, that just ain't enough. You know, it's not enough that we got, you know, I send some minions through to act like they in the house, but they not of the house. It's not enough that I might send some imps through to take some things from you. It's not enough that I'm going to send some bad characters through here just to, you know, tear up stuff. No, let me send this worldwide pandemic. And let's just see who show up. Excellent. And so here it is. We if you, like I said, and you know what? Brother Derek kind of said it right. You know, I don't necessarily have a sentence sermon for you today, but let me give you this. If you remember that God keeps you from dangers seen and unseen all night and all day, and he watches over you, you'll remember the sermon. Yes. Let's talk about dangers seen and unseen. Here in verses 3 and 4, the writer here, and matter of fact, in the 91st number of the Psalms, there are three movements in this psalm. You know, I paid good money for that. There are three movements in this psalm. You know, some of y'all will get it. There are three movements in this psalm, and the first movement are verses 1 through 8. There is another movement, verses 9, I believe, through 13. And then after that, there's another movement we find through verses 14 through 16. Verses 14 through 16 is God actually responding to the speakers. See, what we're doing now in verses 1 through 8, that's one speaker. He's telling us about the goodness of God. And so here in verses 3 and 4, he continues on all the way through verse 8 about what it is that God can do. First of all, he tells us that God keeps us from dangers seen and unseen. You know, there's some things that just kind of stick to you like glue. You know, just like rice and beans will stick to your side. There's just some things that your mama can say that'll just stick to your head and your heart. And my mama would say, God will keep you from dangers seen and unseen. And don't you know, this is exactly here what the psalmist is talking about. He's saying that here in this third and fourth verse, he's telling us that he will surely deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, the thing with this, the fowler is a person who catches birds.
Right.
He's not just catching them to be catching them. He catching them to eat them.
Yeah.
Amen. And look, you know, that's the reason why some of y'all raise chickens. Okay, well, ain't none of y'all raising chickens, right? You better start because they done bought all the chickens out of the store. But the fowler's job was to set snares to capture these birds so that he might later on consume them. Don't you know that there are fowlers in the world? There are individuals who set snares for people. There are individuals who walk around with large paddles. You know, they're pot stirrers, for lack of a better term. Well, there's a better term, but I can't use it in church. But they're pot stirrers. And they're just like the fowler. The fowler sets the trap. And if you're not paying attention, if you're just walking around with your head up in the clouds of no, so high heavenly minded of no earthly good, you'll walk into a snare. You know, my son just started working a job. Praise God. Hallelujah. He just started working a job, and so before he started working his job, this is his first job, and you know what? I can tell he was excited, you know, but, you know, he's just trying to be cool. But I was telling him, I says, look, Doc, there are some things out there you need to be aware of. Yeah, Dad, I know. Look, just listen to what I'm telling you. And so I began to tell him that there are people who will act like your friend, but they won't be your friend.
Yeah.
There's some young ladies out there who think you might be fly until something foul happens, and then all of a sudden you Johnny on the spot. Treat every woman like your sister or your mother, and every man like your father or your brother. And so he said, "Well, Dad, I already had that conversation with Mr. Turner." I was like, "I'm glad that Mr. Turner likes you. But I'm your daddy, and part of my job is to make sure that you're prepared." Don't you know that God has given us the 91st number of the psalm because he's a good daddy, and he wants us to know that there are fowlers out there who will set snares for you to trip you up, to get you in trouble. Man, you better pay attention to what is going on and going around you. There are fowlers out there. But in addition to those who will openly set snares for you, there's the deadly pestilence. Now, the thing about a pestilence is this, and this is the definition. I looked up the, because not everything is everything you think it is. Amen. In the Bible. So you get to look it. And I found this word. And I say, well, you know, it's not a word that we really readily use now. So I wonder, what did they mean at that time when they used this word? And so I went and I looked it up. And the word it means this, is that a pestilence is the termination of something by causing it so much damage that it cannot be repaired and that it cannot, or it no longer exists. Pestilence is something basically that will destroy you. You will not be able to be repaired from it. In other words, you can't fix it. I remember I used to have a babysitter. She used to say, "Baby, don't tear that up because you can't eat it." In other words, if you can't fix it by eating it, you ain't got no business messing with it. The point is that pestilence will come up on you. You think that you're good, or you were doing your dirt and did nobody see, but you realize that there are some things that carry consequences even after the act. There are some things that you don't see that occurred at that time that will germinate. I'm not saying what it'll germinate into, but there are some things that'll germinate into trouble. I'm just going to leave it just like that, and you can fill in the blanks. There will be some things that will germinate and produce fruit that you don't want. But guess what? It's like luggage. You're going to have to keep it. The fowler and the pestilence that comes. Sickness and disease simply means that God has got you covered. Verses 1 and 2 tells us how God has you covered. God is going to let some things come up on you. Yeah. Amen. God is going to let some things come up on you, because you know what? You can't say that you were healed if you had never been sick. God will let some things come up on you so that way you can have a testimony and realize that it wasn't you that healed you, but it was God that healed you. God will allow you to get in some situations that you created, even though he can probably go in and say, Stan, don't do that, but let you do it anyway and let you mess it all up and then come back with hat in hand. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. But you know what? God is a good God. Because he'll let you keep the scars even though he lets you out. Yeah. Even though he makes a way of escape, you'll cut your hand opening the door. Because that cut on your hand will make you remember, I remember when. Yes, sir. I tried to do it my way. And it didn't work out very well. But God made a way of escape. He covered me. He concealed me. He placed me in a fortress. Sometimes you be wrong. Sometimes you be wrong. I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes you be wrong. I mean, wrong is two left feet. Wrong. Everybody know you wrong.
Just wrong.
But God loves you so much that even in your wrongness, if that's even a word, even in your wrongness, God will make a way that you don't reap all the consequences of your mistake. God will place you in the fortress, and even though you as guilty as all get out, once you're in the fortress, can't nobody get to you, can't nobody get after you. Yeah, you guilty as all get out, but you are in the fortress that God has created for you. Why? Because he covers you. And when God covers you, ain't no demon in hell, ain't no man on earth that can get to you, because God has got you covered. Not only does God keep us covered, concealed, and fortressed from danger seen and unseen, he does it all day and all night. Verse 5 and 6 tells us, you won't fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. In other words, the devil is busy night and day. Some of y'all know, because some of y'all can't sleep at night.
Amen.
I'm going to leave it alone. And you're not sleeping because you're waiting up on somebody. You're not sleeping because you're waiting for something to happen. You done germinated. You done planted some seeds. And now you're waiting for them to germinate. And now you're waiting. Your sleep is just so bad because you know it's coming. I'm just going to. You know it's coming. And you know it's coming. And you can't sleep because you know it's coming. You don't have that peace. But God says, I'll make a way. I'll keep you anyway. You know, small children and even some adults are afraid of the dark. They say nightmares are called nightmares because they happen at night. Our fears are heightened in the night. But don't trip, because you know what? The daytime is almost as terrifying as nighttime. You know, there used to be a time where they would do drive-bys only at night. They do drive-bys in the middle of the day. They do drive-bys in the morning. You know, if you're not paying attention, you know, you might catch a bullet at the grocery store getting that toilet tissue. When you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you come out of darkness into the marvelous light. And even though there's foolishness all around you, it won't come nigh unto thee. Yeah, there's some things that might happen to you, but the thing is, you serve a God who's able to do all things and do all things well. You serve a God who knows that there is a fowler, but you know what? You can get all the others, but you can't get this one because this one is mine. This one is my child. You know, I kind of sort of had that same situation with my son. You know, back when he was playing a travel ball, I would take him places, take him to these games. And, you know, one of these games we were at, there was a little break between the games, and there was another group of boys, and they kind of, you know, rolled up on my son. And so I could smell mess. So I rolled up on them. And I'm like, I don't know what y'all doing. I don't know what y'all thinking about doing, but you won't do it with this one. Oh, we good? Yeah, I know you good, and you good, and you gone. God is the same way with us. You rolling around, you ignorant of whatever going around, because, you know, I know, because I've seen some folk, you know, they just walking around, their head be all into the screen, and, you know, you just walking around, and then, you know, something terrible getting ready to walk up on you, and, you know, the group of demons getting ready to walk up on you, and Jesus say, look, I don't know what you're doing. Oh, look, I take it back. I'm Jesus. I know what you're doing. You ain't going to do it with this one. You go find another one. But this one? This one is mine. And that's all I came by to let you know this morning. All day and all night. God don't sleep. He ain't taking a break. He's not like us. You know, you put something on the stove and walk away. Forget that it's on the stove. You watching National Geographic and you burning your food. God don't leave you on the stove. He come back. He don't leave you. He sit there. He watch you. You know, there's somebody watching you as you sleep. You know, it'd be like, that sounds kind of creepy. But I'm glad God watches me as I sleep. I'm glad God watches me during the day. I'm glad God is taking account of me and for me throughout my day. Because sometimes I'm just too, can I just say, use the word, I'll just use the word ignorant. I'll be nice to myself and use the word ignorant. Ignorant just simply means you don't know no better. Okay, stupid is you know better. But you did it anyway. Okay, so I'm going to be nice and say ignorant, but you know, truth be told, sometimes we just slip into stupidity. God looks out for you when you do stupid.
Yes, he does.
God looks out for you when you're ignorant. And God continues to look out for you all the day, all night. Not only does God look out for us all day, all night, God keeps us covered. He keeps us concealed. He keeps us fortressed from danger seen and unseen. He does this all day, and he does it all night. But then the Lord keeps watching over me. Verse 7 and 8 say, 1,000 may fall at my side, and 10,000 may fall at my right hand, but it won't come nigh unto me. You'll only observe it with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Now, let me just say this. Not everybody who goes through something is being punished because they're wicked. Yes. Amen. He's like, oh, they want, you know, don't be like Job's friends.
Right.
You know, Job is going through. Job is more righteous than his friends. Right. And they had the audacity with their, you know, with their raggedy lives. Come walk up on Job and say, well, you know, Job, you must have did something wrong because God don't treat folk like this. Yes, well, can I be honest with you? There's some folk that God loves that has cancer.
Yes.
There's some folk that God loves, truly loves, that they're towards the end of their life.
Amen.
God loves them yet and still. Why? Because at the end of the day, if you don't get raptured, you got to go home and die. Or should I say, you got to die and then go home.
That's it.
Some folk live as long as they live because they're too ornery to die. They say, well, why are they still alive? They're some mean souls. You got to realize that God will give everybody an opportunity as long as he can to hear the gospel and receive it. God will save you even at the point of death. How do I know? Well, there was the thief on the cross. He was at the point of death. He couldn't even be baptized. But the thief on the cross turns to Jesus and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus turns to him and says, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus is able to save you at the last, but why wait until you're about ready to punch out when you could have called on him? He says that I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But the same writer of this 91st Psalm writes in the 24th Psalm, "Who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol." David lets us know that not everybody who raises holy hands are clean hands. Not everybody in the house is of the house. Not everybody who shows up on Sunday is a worshiper of God. You know, demons come to church. Some of them ride in the back of y'all cars. Nobody here. At least if they do, don't say nothing. You don't want nobody looking at you. But not everybody in the house is of the house. But God says this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be done. He says, come stand in that holy place with me, that fortress that God himself has provided. Come see only with your eyes that those who are the enemies of God, how they will fall. 1,000 at your one hand and 10,000 on your right. Only see with your eyes what it is that the wicked have received. God has already laid up some things for those who have called upon his name, who know him in the pardon of their sins, who have said, "You are my God, and you will be my Savior, and I'll walk in your ways the best that I can. Lord, just look out for me." And don't you know, how do you make entry into the fortress? Well, I'm glad that you asked. How do I get covered by God? Well, I'm glad that you asked. How is it that God will be able to move on my behalf? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because the Bible makes it clear that if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. There's nothing else that you must do. There's nothing else where you must go, sit in the back of the room, wait and tarry. It's instantaneous. The baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs right there and right then. We just want you to get you wet so that way everybody else might know what has already happened within you. All I'm letting you know is that there's a reason to be glad and not a reason to be sad. Even when you're going through your worst, God has made a way of escape. Even you can have coronavirus. We and you know what? What trips me out is that y'all act like we haven't been this way before. Y'all remember SARS? Y'all remember Ebola? Y'all remember the swine flu? Y'all even remember last year, right? They were saying, "Oh, people dying from the flu. You better go get your flu shot." My point is this: your days are numbered. You, it could be tomorrow.
Right.
It could be at the end of the day. Or it might be 10 years from now. But you don't know. But the one thing you can't be sure of is that you won't fly standby. When you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, he cuts a ticket right there and then for you into heaven. You ain't got to hope and you ain't got to pray. You know right there, right then, Reverend Evans is telling you, because Reverend Evans has done the same. He has believed in his heart. He has confessed with his mouth. And I know with all my being that I am saved. That if when I die, I'm going first class with a ticket on my with a ticket with my name on it. You know, standby tickets ain't got names on them. You hoping and praying that there's room on the flight for you. But when you got a ticket, it's got my name on it.
Yeah.
And don't you know, they have what it is when you have a you got a way to doubly make sure. He said, not only do I have a ticket, not only am I sealed by the Holy Spirit, but then there's a book in heaven. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I see y'all every Sunday and I thank God for you, but I don't know if your name is written in the book. Amen. But I know my name is written in the book. But if you don't know, like you know, you need to believe in your heart. You need to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's my sermon. I'm going to ask that everyone please stand. And we do as we always do. Because I don't know.